the big one that I've been trying to, I think, dissect a little bit within myself is, equipment manufacturers that you've been talking about a bit more on this podcast recently. Mm. And that one seems hard for me just because I know people, in the equipment manufacturing industry. I'm like, oh, I love these people. They're wonderful people. And yet if I separate the people from the company, I see it. And I think that's a really hard thing
really
for
well
our industry.
Put. Really, really well put. This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar. And joining me for the fourth episode of a five-part series is Madeline from PCR. And Madeline, we are talking about the conversations that people should be having about the coffee industry right now. And we have covered a whole bunch of really interesting stuff. In this episode, we're talking about the health of stakeholders in the supply chain, because let me start by this. Who is a stakeholder? A stakeholder is anybody who is involved in the supply chain and the value chain. So it could be the producer, the obvious ones, the producer, the green trader, the green buyer, the pickers, the roaster, and the cafe owner, right? They're stakeholders. But there are some not so obvious stakeholders. And those who listen to the podcast have heard me talk about this a lot. And Madeline, we want to explore in this conversation, what is the health of people who are stakeholders or businesses who are stakeholders in the supply chain? Because it is not evenly distributed, and we don't even need it to be evenly distributed. But what we do need to make sure of, like we talked in the last episode, if people are getting paid fairly for the work that they're doing, we're at least as an industry going to survive. But we're not right at the moment. And, I've said this ad nauseum, that the people who win from the coffee supply chain, this is a multi-billion dollar industry. Someone's making the money. But cafe owners are crying that they don't have any money. Roasters are crying that they don't have any money. And it's not that they don't have any money. Cafes are making millions of dollars. They have revenue. They have money coming through the door. Yes, yeah. Roasters are making loads of money through the door. And yet they're living month to month.
Mm-hmm.
This producers are certainly not making money. They're barely surviving.
Mm-hmm.
Traders are telling me the same thing. So what is your experience in this industry of who's healthy and who's not healthy? Mm-hmm. You've been in this industry a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's shifted and who's healthy and who's not healthy?
Yeah, and I am a regular listener of the podcast too. And so I'm familiar with and with what's been talked about recently. And I completely agree that it's the banks.
Mm.
Interest rates, especially recently, are insane.
Mm-hmm.
The banks, the landlords, oh my God. And not my landlord, I want to say that.
Shout out to Verna.
Yes. But in speaking to so many folks, so many business owners who are looking for commercial space, whether it's a new space or to fix up something, landlords are so they just like hold the cards, you know, and they can make the decisions and they can decide, I'm going to let that sit vacant because I want to charge what I want to charge. And whatever sort of like tax benefit there is for them makes it worth it for them to just leave it vacant instead of having a tenant in there. Or landlords who don't want to make improvements to the building and it's 100% on the cost of the person who is on the lease to make those improvements. It just does not make any sense to me.
At all.
Yeah, it is wild. These individuals and companies, corporations who own property and land and buildings, and they really, the ball is in their court entirely. And unfortunately, a lot of business owners are just like at their mercy of what they're going to end up paying for rent or how much a build out is going to cost because of whatever the lease terms are. Yeah, I see that a lot. And I know like the big one that I've been trying to, I think, dissect a little bit within myself is, you know, equipment manufacturers that you've been talking about a bit more on this podcast recently. And that one seems hard for me just because I know people, you know, in the equipment manufacturing industry. I'm like, oh, I love these people. They're wonderful people. And yet if I separate the people from the company, I see it. And I think that's a really hard thing
really
for
well
our
put.
Industry.
Really, really well put.
Yeah. It's hard for industry to do that because we have this like personal connection with people. And this is how we build relationships. This is why it is a community that we call this industry, right? Is because
that's why they recruit them.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the hard truth of us to swallow about this. These equipment manufacturers find people who are loved and revered in this industry. And they indoctrinate them into their culty cult. I mean, any chance that I ever had of having any sponsors on this podcast ever in the future have been completely fucked by this series.
No.
And I'm completely okay with that. I know that. But this is true, folks. Like, I have seen them act. They've tried to recruit me. Please come work for us. Please be a brand ambassador for us. And then they send these people that we really love and revere out into the wild to convince us as their friends to buy their equipment.
Yeah.
Isn't that the way it goes?
Again, another example.
Yeah.
That in the last few months, I've been getting inquiries from folks in our local market. They're like, hey, either they're a new cafe or they need to update their equipment that they've had for 15 years. Great timeline to have an espresso machine. It's about time to get a new one, for sure. Agree with that. And they say, hey, I reached out to this company. Their rep recommended this 3-group espresso machine that's like not their base model, not the second one, but it's like the 3rd or 4th model that's going to cost like $10,000 more than the base model. And the first time it happened, I was like, okay, well, I don't know this cafe very well. I don't know what their volume's like. Let me ask all these questions and see what they respond with. And I was like, I don't think you need that machine. Here's the one I would recommend. You probably only need a 2-group. Probably don't need all the fancy built-in scales or the bells and whistles to do all sorts of different, like save all sorts of different like extraction profiles. You're going to be serving 1 coffee on espresso and a decaf. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. And then a second person reached out and they said the same exact thing. The same exact machine had been recommended to them. And then a third cafe reached out. The same exact machine. And I'm like, who is recommending these machines to you? And I asked finally the last person, I was like, can you tell me who at this company is making this recommendation to you?
Did they tell you?
I need to have a conversation with that person.
Did they tell you?
No. I have the direct phone number for this person, and I'm going to call them as soon as I'm back in the States and be like, can you tell me, though, who is telling you this? Because I really need to call this person and be like, what are you? why are you promoting these machines that in my market, these people are serving one type of espresso and one decaf. They're going, you know, one of the cafes, I was like, oh yeah, your team knows how to double bar. I know you're high volume. Okay, that might be the right, a three group might be the right decision for you. But let me ask all of these other questions before I say yes or no. And I'm not a fucking consultant for these people. They're just coming to me to buy the equipment and install the equipment and maintain it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like, here's where it's hard. When you tie somebody's success in their job to the number of sales that they get,
yeah,
and that person is responsible for feeding their family, I totally get it. They're chasing sales. But how do you figure out, as the person who's on the receiving end of that selling, whether they are your friend or not?
Yeah.
Blanket statement, they're not your friend. They're working. They work for them and the fact of feeding their families. That's who they are conspiring to the success of. It's your job to be on your toes, understanding, how do I find out if this is the right thing for me or not? That's your job. That's not their job. They're going to convince you of the most money that they can get out of you. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes a thing where you have to go and ask somebody who knows more. And unfortunately, when you have something like Expo that convinces people that this is an industry that's viable, you end up with people coming into this industry that don't know what the fuck they're doing. So they go and look to people who are really, really nice to them and convince them of what they should buy.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about the health of stakeholders, we can't really talk about that without addressing the fact that people have agendas. This is a business. We operate in an industry that is really beautiful. But to most people, it's a business. And it is no accident that when you list the people that are making the money in this industry, none of them are coffee people.
Yeah.
The stakeholders that make the profit in this industry, not the revenue, the profit. The ones who make the most profit off this beautiful commodity that we have the honor of handling are the banks, the equipment manufacturers, the landlords, and the freight companies. Mm-hmm. And then if you own a cafe and a roastery, you know that the fifth part of that is your employees, who are also screaming, and their stakeholders, they're screaming that they don't have any money either. How the fuck do we call this a healthy industry?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go another layer deep. We haven't even talked about technicians who have to deal with the fuckery of what ends up happening of installing a machine that's not necessary for a cafe that is as small as the kind of, you know, you have a lot of relationships with technicians, right? I don't have as much experience with technicians.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even have that many relationships with technicians, but I have some good key relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do they say about all of this?
So I want to preface this too by saying I do technician work out of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody on the island doing it.
And Hawaii. The big islands.
In Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's nobody on Hawaii Island doing it. And there are all these cafes and restaurants and people who need help with there. And I was working in a cafe that could not get somebody to come work on our espresso machine.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked that company, hey, send me to a training.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go learn how to do this because we need somebody reliable.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the starting point in my world, in the technician world. I am not an engineering mind. I do not have an engineering mindset or background.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of like figure out a lot of shit just on the fly and calling a lot of people to help me, and they've helped me a lot.
Mm.
And what I'm starting to learn, the more that I'm having conversations with folks who are technicians and have been technicians for a long time, they're having so many frustrations with the way that equipment is sold in this industry. And there is this deep disconnect between the people who are on the ground maintaining, installing, repairing these machines and the manufacturers.
Wow.
Because the manufacturers have relationships with people. Manufacturers basically are ready and willing to sell to online retailers because they have volume, they have access, right, to a large market.
Mm-hmm.
But then those online retailers don't actually have support team on the ground in all of these markets to install that equipment or maintain that equipment or do anything, train people how to use them. So these online retailers have some big office and they try to figure out who's the person in this market that we just sold this ridiculous espresso machine to. We need to contact them and build a relationship. So they reach out to technicians to install this, to maintain it. And from their perspective, the online retailers, they're like, we're doing them a big favor. We're sending them business. But from the technician's standpoint, they're like, you just handed me a fucking mess because wow. This person doesn't know what equipment they just purchased. They didn't get primed with education and information on what's actually available to them. They were sold on something they don't need. They're not prepared to use. And guess what? I showed up for the installation. Nothing's ready. Nothing's ready for installation. Wow. I just wasted hours of my day coming here, realizing you don't have water filtration because nobody even told you you needed water filtration. You don't have the proper power connected because nobody fucking held your hand. Like, what? No, I just wasted my time. And now I have to spend time with this person who isn't even my customer to educate you and tell you, here's what you need. Call me when it's all set up. Once it's finally set up, and then I can help you. I've had that experience several times, just in my market. And I know technicians all around the nation have had that experience. And I'm in, for whatever reason, again, I say, like, I'm not like an actual quote unquote coffee technician. I do it out of necessity. But for whatever reason, I was invited into this like incredible group of people, this forum, and the conversations that we're having there about the problems and the frustrations that people have with the manufacturers and these online retailers and massive roasteries who decide that they want to start selling equipment to their wholesale partners, but they don't actually have support team too.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't take that.
Don't be the equipment manufacturer's bitch.
Just like, tell that wholesale partner, here's the local technician in our market. You should have this conversation with them. Let that happen. Because at the end of the day, that technician, and this is my perspective, I am trying to reduce my headaches in the long run. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to set you up as a cafe or a restaurant for success so that you're not calling me every 6 months because this is wrong or all of these things. I'm trying to make sure that you and your team are educated on how this equipment works and why it's the best option for you. And this is the goal for most technicians. This is not the goal for most online retailers and roasteries because they don't have to deal with the fallout when something goes wrong with that equipment.
Mm.
And the amount of stress that it causes me personally when a machine is having problems or when I show up to a place, they don't have anything set up correctly. And it's just like, why didn't you call me 4 months ago? Mm. I really wish you would have called me 4 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wish you would have let me teach you how to clean the equipment and maintain it so that it can last longer.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. That's going to cost you money because that's my time and that's my expertise and my knowledge. But I promise you, in the long run, it's going to save you money.
But do they have that long run? That's my question, right?
Right.
Do they have that long run?
Yeah. I don't know. But most of the time they don't, you know? And again, it's this issue of looking at short-term gains.
Right.
At the expense of long-term health of the business.
Yeah. It's this deference of responsibility from equipment manufacturers onto everybody else. Because they have no interest in convincing cafes not to open. They have no, it goes against who they are. And it got a salesperson from an equipment manufacturer is going to do everything they can to convince you to open that cafe if you're curious about it. So you'll call and you'll be like, you know, I'm thinking I want to open a cafe, but I don't really know what it costs. So I'm going to give La Mazzocco a call. I'm not picking on La Mazzocco. They're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I said it. They're all the same, right? You'll pick up the phone, you'll call La Mazzocco or you'll call fucking Simonelli and you'll say to them that, you know, I'm thinking of opening a cafe. I'm just trying to figure out how much does it cost to buy an espresso machine? You are theirs from that moment on.
Mm-hmm.
They are now going to do everything that they can to convince you that opening a cafe is profitable. But what you don't know is that there's a difference between gross profit and net profit. And they're never going to mention the net profit side of things. They're going to tell you that the gross profit in coffee is somewhere between 60% and 70%. And this is how much a latte costs. And you're going to sell this many lattes a year. And let me do the math on those lattes. Look, you're going to make so many hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they're never going to mention the word OPEX, operating expenses, and they're never going to mention the word net profit. All they're going to do is drive that home, and they're going to convince you that this is – they're going to grab a whole bunch of data that's been released by the NCA, the National Coffee Association, that was done to represent a population of 350 million people with a sample size of 1,700 people. Mm-hmm. And they are going to shove those fucking statistics down your throat to convince you that this is a viable business model. Now we're at a point where they have done that so fucking much that we have saturated markets all over the world. And we're all in the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have a wave of closures. But that's going to be fine because it's going to be backed up by the next fucking group of people who are going to come in and buy espresso machines to open cafes because they got convinced at Expo that this is what should happen. And then they pick up the phone. Hey, Simonelli, we saw you at Expo. Hey, Sinesso, we saw you at Expo. Hey, Ground Control, we saw you at Expo. Hey, fucking Maven, you had a gold-plated espresso machine. You must be doing really well. Tell me more. And the cycle continues.
Yeah. And this is why, toward the beginning of this conversation, I was saying, I wonder if this is just the cyclical nature of our industry.
Mm.
Because those who have decided it's too much, I can't afford it anymore, I'm too exhausted by this, I'm tired of this industry, leave. And at that same moment, there are 10 more people ready and willing to start up in this industry.
And they figure out too late that the model's broken. And so then they activate the race to the bottom themselves. They come in with great intentions, but nobody told them
of course
how broken it is.
Yeah.
So the last episode in this series, folks, is going to be how much we should be selling coffee for. Coffee as green coffee, coffee as roasted coffee, coffee by the cup. You'll understand why we want to finish this series on this topic in the next episode. Thanks for sticking with us. These are hard conversations to have, but I think they're important. So join us for the next episode, folks. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on The Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.